This is the Misty Winston Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hello, welcome to TNT Radio. This is the Misty Winston Show. I appreciate you tuning in today. I have a very exciting guest for our third hour, but I do just want to give you some updates on the Julian Assange situation. We're going to be discussing that a little bit in this hour. So journalist and publisher Julian Assange remains in Belmarsh Prison, which is a Category A supermax prison. It's called the Guantanamo Bay of the UK. This is somebody who has no history of violence in their past, who is just a journalist and publisher, and is being held on remand, and that means without charge. So, he is in horrendous conditions as he's awaiting a decision from UK Home Secretary Priti Patel on the extradition request from the United States. So recently, the UK Supreme Court denied a request for appeal. So in the UK, you have to request to be able to appeal, and then the Supreme Court decides whether or not your case is worthy of being heard, and they denied that request. So that essentially sent it back to the district courts, which that was basically just procedural. They rubber stamped it and sent it along to UK Home Secretary Priti Patel. So the case is now sitting on her desk, and the decision is now resting on her shoulders. This is, as I've said many times on the show, this is the greatest threat against press freedom that we have ever witnessed. I am attempting to not sound overly dramatic, but frankly, I don't think I can be dramatic enough. This really is precedent setting. This will be the first time a journalist and publisher is charged under the U.S. Espionage Act. And I want to make clear that this is not an American journalist. Very often people will say, oh, he's a traitor. He's not American. He can't be a traitor. He's not an American citizen. And so the United States is charging an Australian citizen under the U.S. Espionage Act, while affording him none of the protections of the First Amendment. This is very much empire wanting to have its cake and eat it too. Nobody has ever exposed more crimes and corruption than Julian Assange. And I will also add again that Julian Assange and WikiLeaks has never gotten it wrong. They've never had to retract a single word that they've ever published, ever. And I don't know of another outlet or another organization, news organization, that has that kind of record. So in all of, there's this whole hyperventilating and pearl clutching over quote unquote misinformation. And yet the people who are freaking out about misinformation are suspiciously silent on what's happening to the one guy who has a 100% record of accuracy. Stella Morris, which is Julian Assange's wife, now wife, they were recently wed in Belmarsh, which is ridiculous that they had to get married in prison. But she tweeted out on Tuesday. So the deadline for the submissions from the defense team was yesterday, but they went ahead and put those in on Tuesday. So those have now been submitted to Home Secretary Priti Patel. That's basically just their attempt at giving her information in an attempt to sway her decision, which, if we're being honest, and as we're going to talk about in the upcoming hour, is unlikely. She's a very corrupt person. But the submissions have been made, and the decision is coming any minute. We don't have necessarily a timeline. We don't have a specific date. I imagine they will probably try to make that announcement at a time when they can hide it, when they can bury it under another story. So please keep your eyes open, keep your ears to the ground, pay attention to what's going on as far as that decision coming down. So also some phone numbers that you can call. We've been trying to do kind of a phone frenzy in an attempt to put public pressure on these people who are in charge of this thing. So if you want to call Priti Patel, it's 020-7035-4848. And then there's also another number for her. I know that some people said, here it is. That's the same one. Some people said that they were having problems with that phone number. So I'll get you the other one here in just one second. But the White House comment line. So this is only open from Tuesday through Thursday, which is bizarre democracy. You can only call the White House comment line Tuesday through Thursday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. And the number for that is 202-456-1111. When you call this, just ask a demand for the case to be dropped. If you want to call, if you want to call the Department of Justice, you are going to want to call and ask them to drop the charges. So the comment line is 202-353-1555. And then the main switchboard is 202-514-2000. Also, I have run out of patience with Amnesty International. So they have yet to designate Julian Assange as a prisoner of conscience. I don't know if there's ever been a more clear-cut case of such a distinction being justified. So we need to start putting pressure on them as well to make that distinction. It's really kind of absurd that they haven't done it yet. So if you want to call Amnesty International and demand that they designate Assange a prisoner of conscience, that's 1-800-266-3789. So if you can join us in trying to raise some awareness, make some noise for, oh, and the other number for Priti Patel, I'm sorry, is 020-7219-3528. So make some phone calls, send some emails, tweet at people, whatever you can do, write a letter to the editor of your local newspaper, whatever you can do. We need all hands on deck. We need as much noise as possible. The only thing that stops this, the only thing, is mass public pressure. Priti Patel is not going to do the right thing just on her own. Joe Biden won't do the thing just on his own. Merrick Garland won't do the right thing on his own. We have to force it. We have to make it politically untenable for them to continue this persecution. So please join us in that. Thank you so much for letting me rant about it right here on TNT Radio.
Telling it like it is.
They're not afraid to be them.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, so joining us this hour is incredible investigative journalist Kit Clarenberg. His work focuses on exploring the role of intelligence services on policy and perception. And he has a couple of absolute bombshell pieces out right now at the Gray Zone. One was published on May 15th. The other was published yesterday, May 18th, that came from leaked emails. The first exposed a shadowy intelligence cabal's plot to sabotage Prime Minister Theresa May's Brexit deal, remove her from office, and replace her with Boris Johnson in order to secure the hard withdrawal that they wanted from the EU. And then the second one, which we're going to be digging into most specifically today, has exposed UK Home Secretary Priti Patel's connection to an MI6-style research and influence operation. As I just mentioned, Priti Patel is now responsible for making the decision regarding the extradition request from the United States for journalist and publisher Julian Assange. So I'm really excited to have Kit here. I'm going to try to just shut up because there's a lot of information. I may jump in with a couple questions, but I'm just going to let him explain to you what he's uncovered here. So Kit, thank you so much for being here, and thank you for this crucial reporting.
No, my pleasure, and thank you for such a lovely introduction. It's more than I'm used to and more than I deserve, I think. But in all seriousness, yes, I mean, you know, you mentioned like public pressure. I think, you know, we've just seen what public pressure can do with the, yes, you know, the Department of Homeland Security's Disinformation Board being shit-canned due to enormous public backlash. You know, bear that, yes, in mind. Like, you know, think about what we could do together if we organized and targeted the NSA or GCHQ or MI6 or the CIA. So essentially, yes, as you say, we at the Gray Zone have been exposing this shadowy right-wing intelligence cabal, which includes Richard Dearlove, who is a former MI6 director, embroiled in many, it seems, dubious, undemocratic, if not outright criminal schemes. And so, you know, something that caught my eye as I was going over this several gigabyte size tranche, were there were internal emails referring to Priti Patel, who, yes, as you say, is due to rule on Julian Assange's extradition. You know, it's shocking he's in that position in the first place. They are this cabal, which is comprised of, you know, senior British military and intelligence officials and these rather reclusive financiers. They are running an operation called quote unquote Dar Cullen, which is seeking to smear environmental activists as Chinese communist agents of influence. I mean, it's really quite extraordinary. But like within this, it's clear that the leader of the cabal, this individual called Gwydion Prinz, who's tied quite heavily to NATO, he refers to meeting Priti Patel one-on-one. Subsequent to this, he suggests that she set up a dedicated Proton mail so they can speak in private, and, you know, and recommends that they talk via Signal, the encrypted messaging app, so no one can, you know, see what they're saying to each other. And yeah, it's really quite extraordinary, and would be entirely unsurprising if this stuff borders on illegal. The entire purpose of this is effectively to, you know, infiltrate the Home Office, which is the government department that Priti Patel runs, and influence policy as a result. Now, there's no direct reference to WikiLeaks or Julian Assange in the lead CMOs that we possess. But in equally, it's very safe to assume that, you know, that this cabal is bringing its influence to bear on Patel, would strongly favour his extradition to the US. You know, their ultimate objective in attempting to secure a hard Brexit was to ensure that the UK was not in any way signed up to or adherent to EU defence and intelligence directives, and instead, you know, subordinate to the US. You know, and I think that, you know, bearing in mind that their key concern was the maintenance of the Five Eyes global spying network and how much Julian has done to expose this, I think they would probably be extremely delighted at his, you know, forcible extradition to the US.
Yes. Yes. No question. These are the people that want Julian Assange to be thrown into a hole forever and forgotten about. So, yes, I think that there's no doubt. And I don't think I don't think anybody would be surprised that, you know, she's being influenced by those types. I mean, she is those types.
I mean, her background is really quite extraordinary. And I'm not, your American listeners may not be aware, but like she was originally fired by Theresa May, who was the prime minister that this cabal sought to replace with someone, quote unquote, fit for purpose, because she had 12 separate secret meetings with Israeli government officials. You know, in August 2017, she repeatedly lied about it and claimed that this was just a private holiday. I mean, you know, why you would go to Israel quite so often? Maybe they have a good restaurant or something. But like, yeah, she. I mean, that, you know, it's a serious breach of the ministerial code, and she was summarily turfed out. I mean, she has a history of suggesting that the British try and starve the Irish in the modern era, like, you know, a reference to Irish potato famine, which was British manufactured and led to an enormous number of people dying completely needlessly. While she was in Israel, she visited the Golan Heights, including medical facilities that the Israeli state uses to offer treatment and assistance to jihadists who are fighting in Syria. They illegally occupy the Golan Heights to this day, despite numerous UN rulings demanding that they leave. I'm not surprised at all that, you know, Priti Patel is embroiled in this. I mean, it's amazing to have kind of black and white confirmation, though. And yes, it seems she's been very much swayed by this this kind of spectral group of people. So, for instance, in at the very start of March, when the UK was being heavily criticised for not accepting significant numbers of Ukrainian refugees, the Gwydion Prinz sent her a briefing document, which laid out a number of arguments that she could use publicly for why the UK was not accepting more intake from people fleeing the Russian invasion. And then mere days later, all of these talking points fed to her, she mentions in her Conservative Party conference speech. It's really quite extraordinary, seeing this transferred to the public stage from purely private communications.
Yeah. No doubt. And the Russian or the Ukrainian refugees being painted as potential Russian double agents seeking to carry out terror attacks on. I mean, that's just fat, because we're being fed this line that, oh, we care about the people of Ukraine so much. We have to send, all this money and all these weapons. We care so much. And then, you know, there's this whole thing where they're trying to paint the refugees as potential Russian double agents. I mean.
Oh, yeah. No, it's extraordinary. And it's just like, I think as well, it's just the one thing that, it's not amusing at all, but it's just really quite disturbing, was just like the UK was very, compared to other European countries, was very hesitant to offer sanctuary to people, to Ukrainians. Not long after there was a dedicated scheme inaugurated to allow these people, safe passage to the UK, the UN issued a public statement saying they were extremely concerned about these people being put with single men for certain purposes. If the UN's getting involved, that's quite serious. It's very clear from the lead team as well that the Gwydion Prinz and Richard Dearlove are heavily involved in dictating the UK's policy towards Ukraine, and they have all sorts of insane ideas about how to impose a no-fly zone without imposing a no-fly zone, which I mean, you know, doing it formally would, of course, lead to World War III, because that would be a direct attack on Russia, which is a nuclear armed nation. They have all of these kind of workarounds. They're constantly like blasting at Downing Street. I mean, I sincerely hope that this has no influence on, you know, kind of mainstream government thinking, because, you know, these people are completely insane. And I suspect, I would suggest that they are, you know, that they are kind of, you know, they live in a world where there's like no consequences to their actions. So it's like, I mean, in the first article that we published at Quasar, you know, they talk very, very, very openly. And, you know, they're not particularly tech savvy people who thought that anything they said over Proton Mail would be safe forever. You know, they talk about infiltrating the civil service, which is, you know, the UK's kind of permanent government bureaucracy, via a spying operation and setting up fake Democratic Party groups in the US to do this, and, you know, all manner of things. And it's just like, you know, this is like illegal. But like, you know, they had no compunction about proposing it, you know, again, you know, thinking there would be zero consequences for doing this.
Well, there never is. It's fair that they think that, because there never is any consequences for these people. As we were talking about earlier on the show, George W. Bush making the little gaffe that he made, you know, something invade Iraq, and he can do that, and then a room full of people will just laugh about it.
Laugh.
I mean, they're like laughing about war crimes.
No, it's just like there are so many. Public statements by US officials who are like, you know, heavily embroiled in, you know, the worst war crimes imaginable. Well, the response is, you know, people laugh, or it's just kind of a meaningless aside in an overall oratory. Madeleine Albright, who, you know, she was a key figure within the war on Serbia launched by NATO in 1999 and 2000. You know, she was asked on I think it was 60 Minutes, I might be wrong, whether she thought that the death of half a million Iraqi children was a price worth paying, you know, as a result of the US sanctions on Iraq. And, you know, she basically said yes. She went on to have a very successful career in the private sector, enrich herself. You know, when she died, there were all of these very, you know, fawning, glowing obituaries in the mainstream media. You know, conversely, you know, when I was in Serbia at the time, when she passed away, there were street parties. Like, you know, people were like celebrating this because of her central role in the bombing of Serbia in 1989. You know, the scars of which you can still see to this day. It's really quite extraordinary.
Yes. And that's what's so fascinating. It's equal parts fascinating and depressing, but that's the reality. Yes. I mean, George W. Bush gets to go on Ellen, and he gets to go give speeches at his presidential library or whatever it was. And Madeleine Albright can have this career in the private sector and enrich herself. And everybody, you know, John McCain, everybody fawns over John McCain after he dies. And, you know, Barack Obama's free to go buy some massive estate on Martha's Vineyard. And they're all war criminals. There's never, ever any accountability for these people. And in fact, the only people that we ever penalize for the war crimes are those that expose them. It's this really just sick. It's sick. I mean, our society is just genuinely sick. I mean, we have this, it's culturally ingrained, it's economically ingrained, war, death, destruction, and chaos. And it's really disturbing. It really is disturbing. And I think that this, you know, these leaks that you got and the two articles that you've written, which, I mean, genuinely, everybody needs to go to the Gray Zone. Go to the Gray Zone. Again, as I said, one was published a few days ago. The other one was published yesterday. And there's just an unbelievable amount of information in there outlining the just deep corruption. And we should mention, too, that most of the people who are involved in this shadowy group are unelected. They're just, you know, these crazy people who have an immense amount of power and wealth, who are able to infiltrate governmental bodies and control and influence decisions that are made. And that should trouble everybody. These are not people that you voted for. They don't serve you. They don't represent you. And they're very much intertwined within the inner workings of, and this is not just in the UK. Obviously, this is what Kit has uncovered here is definitely in the UK, but this happens in the United States as well. And this is, we all need to be paying very close attention to this. So everybody, I'm not joking. Please go to the Gray Zone. Read both of these articles, educate yourself about what's happening. It really is quite disturbing. Let's go ahead and take our first break of the hour, and then we'll come right back with more from Kent Clarenberg right after this here on TNT Radio.
Globalist agendas, democratic rights at risk, corruption, propaganda. It never stops. Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
Election 2022 in Australia votes on May 21. This is Senator Malcolm Roberts.
In the last year, Australia witnessed many unacceptable actions. For the first time, I've listed 33 firsts for our country that smashed people rapid fire. While any one of these would normally trigger people to be angry, under the brutal states of emergency and fear, people reluctantly accepted all. For example, this is the first time society sacrificed its young supposedly to protect the old. Until now, always among humans and every animal species, older generations protect their young. What's worse, state and federal governments then neglected the elderly without any proper plan for managing the virus. This is the first time Australian federal and state governments have coerced people on a national basis, national scale, to inject citizens with something that can kill them, and now many people are dying with thousands potentially crippled for life. This is the first time governments have prevented sick or vulnerable people from having proven, safe, effective, affordable, antiviral COVID cures. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. They stop the virus and prevent people getting COVID.
Authorised Malcolm Roberts, Brisbane.
Messages for Shana, my mom who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back. This is the Misty Winston Show here on TNT Radio. I'm joined this hour by Kit Clarenberg, who's an amazing investigative journalist who has two, not one, but two bombshell pieces out in the Gray Zone, at the Gray Zone, which I'm a huge fan of the Gray Zone. I love everybody over there. They do fantastic work. So please go over, read the articles, support their work, share the work, donate if you're able to, all that good stuff. So we're discussing one of the two pieces that Kit has out this week. This one details the connections that UK Home Secretary Priti Patel has to a very shadowy and nefarious group of people and what influence, if any, they may have, which obviously they do. They may have over her and her decision making. Something I found interesting in the article, maybe you could talk a little bit about this, is that they decided that they were going to invoice this. Is it Gwythian Prinz? That's such an such
yeah,
a
Gwythian,
like that's
Gwythian,
such a okay, yeah, that's such a an evil villain type of name. But
oh yeah, well, I mean,
this
is the thing.
Yeah.
This is the thing, he comes across as this kind of, you know, comical Bond villain in the emails, but then there's also a lot of extraneous kind of personal stuff where like he's like talking to his PA about how his name means in Cornish and Dutch a white prince, and how he like self-identifies as his horse. I mean, he's these people are insane, but that doesn't mean they're not dangerous.
Yes. Yeah. No kidding. It says that they're going to invoice him as a sole trader, not an employee. That way, British tax authorities don't consider. Is it Dark Olin? I'm guessing how you pronounce that.
Dark Olin. Dark Olin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're not going to ask any questions about that. I found that super interesting that they're working out ways to avoid questions about taxes and all of that good stuff too. They're one step ahead of everything all the time. But yeah, okay, let's talk about some of the things that they were going to do, because I know some of the stuff that, you know, they're going to attack environmental activists as communist agents of Chinese influencers. We already talked about the Ukrainian refugees, and painting them as Russian double agents, which is still just so interesting to me, given the level of propaganda that has been forced upon us about how deeply we care about the people of Ukraine. Talk about, because as you said, some of this stuff could potentially be criminal.
Yeah. I mean, I think that these people are completely insane. But like, I mean, you know, what they were effectively, when this guy Gwydion met Priti Patel, who is very soon due to rule on Julian's extradition, which is Shocking. He put together this insane graph of people who he perceived to be, the people involved in kind of advocacy for green energy, kind of climate change activists, blah, blah. Like he perceived them to be Chinese agents. And he maps out their presumed proximity to Downing Street. He proposes going after them using conducting quote unquote the sort of work that MI5 run properly would be doing. I mean, anyone who knows anything about what MI5 does is spying, infiltration, discrediting, and disruption. There are other emails as well where it's very clear that he has this kind of perception that people who are the people who are involved in like Black Lives Matter are actually secret Chinese agents and stuff. It's completely insane. But they have a number of covert and overt ways of undermining these people. They will go after anyone who they perceive to be a barrier to their agenda, and will attempt to destroy them reputationally, have them prosecuted, destroy their careers, etc. I mean, this is really quite extraordinary. And I think it's given what clear scumbags they are. I think it's very striking that when Gwydion Prinz met Priti Patel, he referred to her as a refreshing change from the soggy mass of current politicians. I mean, I think that kind of speaks a lot to how much of a scumbag she is. That she impressed them with how belligerent and heartless like she was. But it's just that's the kind of track of the emails that I've read thousands. I wish someone would help me at this point. That they effectively try and whenever there's a crisis or kind of major event in the news, that they try and work out ways that they can weaponize it and exploit it and usually profit from it, whether financially or otherwise. They just go after people with an enormous energy and hatred. I have this document that Gwydion produced on people involved in Black Lives Matter UK, where he's just talking about ways to take them out and ways to publicly discredit them and stuff. It's really quite extraordinary.
Yes, it is. And you're right. They will. And I think that a great example is what they've done to Julian Assange. If you go back and look at the last 12 years, they have really it's kind of amazing in a really disturbing way. But they have really strategically attacked him from every angle so that, most people, for one reason or another, have found a reason to dislike Julian Assange based on the smear campaign and the misinformation that's been spread about him. And I mean, I think that what you've uncovered here is just, further example of that, and the way that they really, you can't put anything, they will do anything. They will do absolutely anything to maintain power and control and to further their own agenda. And so I know that one person of interest that you mentioned in the article is Ben Caldicott, the founding director of Oxford University Sustainable Finance Group. I've noticed that there's a through line that they're often trying to, paint these people as susceptible to being, co-opted by Beijing. And the Chinese thread is very, is kind of a through line through all of this stuff. Do you think, because I kind of suspect that we're being pushed towards a potential conflict with China, and it seems as if they definitely have, they're definitely working towards those ends, and at least think that there's a potential for people being co-opted by China and used against them. And again, you're right. They're crazy. This is crazy. This is crazy stuff. It's nuts. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense.
Like, I mean, I think that China's a very effective enemy because Russia obviously for many years was it was so discrediting to suggest that someone was involved with in some way, whether wittingly or unwittingly, with Moscow. I've written previously about how Integrity Initiative, the parent charity of Integrity Initiative, it was at the Institute for Statecraft, which Gwydion Prinz is involved with, rather surprisingly. And you know, they worked to discredit Julian. They spread false information, both publicly and to parliamentary committees, which the equivalent in the US would be a Senate or congressional committee. They just completely false information tying him to Russia, which this had a serious real world implications. It led to Julian's internet connection being cut off in the Ecuadorian embassy, and then the Ecuadorian authorities blocking all of his visits from anyone apart from his lawyers. So, Stella, who you mentioned earlier, Stella Assange, formerly Stella Morris, like she couldn't visit her, the love of her life and stuff. And, they will stop at nothing. And I think, that the, framing individuals or groups as being somehow tied to the enemies of the day is a very, very effective means of discrediting them. There's all sorts of stuff in the leaked emails about how, this person is a quote unquote watermelon, a reference to green on the outside, red on the inside. We need to go after them. They're quite clearly working for Beijing. I mean, whether they believe this or not, it's kind of immaterial. They quite clearly understand that this is a very, very effective battering ram and something which, energizes and engages the official security services, discredits them, in the eyes of the establishment.
Yes. Yes. Is it clear, like, to what level Priti Patel may be aware of this? I mean, do you think she's being used as unknowingly, or I feel like that's highly unlikely. She seems like a very bright woman. So it feels as if she's probably, if not directly aware of and involved. Is there anything in the emails that links to her being very clearly aware of what's happening and how she's being influenced?
Well, I mean, I think the thing that really jumps out to me from these emails is that the cabal, one of the ways they sought to supplant Theresa May, and they're currently trying to supplant Britain's energy minister, was that they had this insider. They called her a centrally placed mole in the civil service, which is Britain's permanent bureaucracy, who was feeding them insider information, documents. This is completely illegal. She potentially faces prosecution under the Official Secrets Act for doing so. But they placed her with Priti Patel, whether in a formal or informal way is not clear. I mean, it seems the latter, like informal. But so essentially, you're part of this. They send Priti Patel a CV of their mole, who's called Evelyn Farr. I'll name her, that's fine. And indeed this list of articles she wrote under a pseudonym, which was disclosing sensitive private government information under the pseudonym of Caroline Bell. This was forwarded on to Priti Patel, and in response to this, Richard Dearlove, the MI6 chief, said the CV is ideal, but the article list is deadly because it tells a Remainer within the civil service who our source was, and quote unquote why the withdrawal agreement, which was Theresa May's exit deal, went belly up. So she knows that this shadowy group was receiving privileged information illegally from an internal source. This was meant to be for her own eyes only. I mean, whether she's fully aware of the extent to which she's being used, that's not clear. I mean, this Evelyn Farr woman, the mole in the civil service, she is currently redrafting Home Office legislation with the full knowledge of Patel. So again, I mean, she knows that she's been co-opted. It's not certain, and I don't like going beyond the evidence, but I think that anyone who is a thinking person would think, this individual was an infiltrator within the civil service for years. Are they not doing the same now, even if I'm benefiting from it in some way?
Yes. And I don't mean to make you speculate beyond what you have in front of you as far as hard evidence, but I do think it's a pretty safe assumption that No, I mean, seriously, she's a bright woman. Yes, she's incredibly corrupt, but she's not an idiot.
It would be amazing to me if she hadn't asked that question. I mean, you know, there's always the point where, you know, when people are being quote unquote manipulated, the degree to which it is witty and willing. And I think that, you know, she's in close proximity with a lot of dark, cynical actors. She must know that that these people have an agenda. And if she's being sent, you know, briefing notes and draft speeches by these people, she's not just robotically reiterating them in public.
Right. No, yeah. I mean, I think that she probably has a pretty decent awareness about what's happening around her. And, you know, it's interesting that all this stuff is illegal, as you said, and it's you now have pretty hard evidence for that. It'll be interesting to see if there's any, obviously there's probably not going to be any accountability. There never is, but I'm interested to see if there's going to be any public interest in this. There should be. Again, everybody go to the gray zone, read the articles, share them widely. This is the kind of stuff that we should all be up in arms about. This is, pure insanity that we have these incredibly shadowy, nefarious groups working behind the scenes to influence governmental officials and decisions and policies and, all of that stuff. These are, again, unelected, entirely corrupt, crazy people. Like, I mean, I don't think that that's, really hyperbolic. These are not good people. And Patel herself, in your article, I'm glad that you did this. You made these connections because this isn't like the only conflict of interest that she has in regards to the extradition of Julian Assange. And I know that you credit Matt Kennard, who is also another amazing journalist. He does great work. So everybody can please go follow him. But tell us a little bit about some of these, because this is a through line throughout the Assange case. Everybody that is involved in this case in some way or another has incredible conflicts of interest.
No, I mean, I call it the 2 degrees of separation. Like, I mean, it's literally, if you look at anyone who's involved in, adjudicating this, they have pretty direct, usually, or, occasionally it's indirect, like links to security services or kind of, it's really quite extraordinary. So, yeah, like Matt Kennard, who, yes, is an excellent journalist. I'm not as good as me, I would say, but, in all senses, he documented how, Priti Patel sat on the advisory council of the Henry Jackson Society, which is this neoconservative think tank, which has published, quite a lot of, racist reports about how, the danger posed by Muslims living in Britain. Funnily enough, one of its kind of key directors, Douglas Murray, is named in this email tranche. So again, it's a very incestuous world that we're talking about here. But she sat on the advisory council of this think tank at the same time as James Arbuthnot, who was a member of the House of Lords. His wife, Lady Emma, she was in charge of making key rulings on the viability of Assange's extradition in 2018. She was eventually forced to step aside due to a perception of bias. The Henry Jackson Society has also counted former CIA directors as patrons. They've invited many to speak. Mike Pompeo, CIA director and then U.S. Secretary of State, visited in 2020. 3 years earlier, he presided over an agency plot to kidnap, if not kill, Julian. The conflicts of interest never end, and I actually think that this is a very clear example of how you should always think about people in power as having an enormous and indeed infinite conflicts of interest. Otherwise, they wouldn't get to occupy the space that they do. Strongly recommend it's on Declassified UK. Check it out.
Yes.
Matt documenting the conflicts of interest and connections there. But yeah, I mean, I think just more importantly, it's just it's vital to consider, Priti as part of a wider establishment, which is, yes, unaccountable to no one. It contains many members of whom the average citizen has never heard, who wield enormous influence and have, an enormous mutual vested interest with one another.
Yes, and just so much power. And you're right, that amount of power with no accountability is a really terrifying thing. And Matt Kennard, too, I just want to mention, maybe a year ago or so, he did a great explainer video on the Assange case. I think it's called something like Why You Should Care About Julian Assange or something. And it's less than 5 minutes long. I don't know how he did it, but he like jam-packed I still share it to this day. It's like a year old. It's one of the best. If you know somebody who is not familiar with the Julian Assange case and how it pertains to them, that is the video I show people. So yes, kudos to Matt Kennard. He does a really great job. And everybody go check out that video, share it with your friends. I tweet it all the time. It is seriously one of my favorite resources when I'm dealing with Assange stuff, because it's like 4 minutes and 47 seconds and he just nails it. He just jam packs that information in there, makes it very easy to explain. So kudos to him for that. Okay, we're going to take our second break of the hour. We're going to be right back with more from Kit Clarenberg right here on TNT Radio.
Election 2022, and Australia decides on Saturday, May 21st. With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Jeremy Beck.
If there is one issue in this election which should be the central feature...
Analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Jeremy Beck.
If there is one issue in this election which should be the central feature, it should be the federal government's response to COVID and how the nation can avoid such a disastrous and tragic response in future. But the major parties are intent on pushing the false narrative and play the tune of their big business financial sponsors, which include big pharma companies profiting at Australia's expense. A few days ago we saw, disgustingly I might add, Labor leader Anthony Albanese dodge a simple question on vaccine mandates from a member of the public. "When are you going to put our workers back to work without mandates?" a woman asked. And all Albanese said was, be polite, and scurried away. And Prime Minister Scott Morrison is keen to sign away Australia's sovereignty in healthcare to our WHO treaty. We can do much better. I'm Jeremy Beck for TNT Radio.
Every 2 minutes, an American is sexually assaulted. The majority of victims know their attacker. It could be your friend, your neighbor, or someone you met at a party. If you said no, it's rape. And it's a crime. This is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Call the National Sexual Assault Hotline today at 1-800-656-HOPE or visit RAIN.org. That's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Several countries and automakers have pledged to end the sale of combustion engine cars by 2035. Electric cars are intended to take over, and this is supposed to be green. The transition to electric vehicles would require batteries galore, and therefore the biggest expansion of mining that the world has seen. Tailings from mines contaminate much wider regions, including major rivers, lakes, and the oceans. It takes 500,000 gallons of water to mine 1 ton of lithium, and farmers left without a drop are forced out. Lithium-ion batteries used in electric cars are difficult and costly to recycle, and it's cheaper just to mine more lithium. Significant quantities of plastic, aluminium, rubber, and particularly iron are required for electric cars, just as any other car. Massive new charging station infrastructure will again require more resources. Is this really green?
Today's News Talk Radio. Today's News Talk Radio. TNT.
Hello, this is TNT Radio. You're listening to the Misty Winston Show. I appreciate you tuning in today. We're joined this hour by Kit Clarenberg, who's a great investigative journalist. He has two amazing pieces out in the Gray Zone this week. The first one details this shadowy cabal's attempt to oust Theresa May, and so that way they can install Boris Johnson to get their hard exit from the EU. And then this one that we're talking about today is just going through the connections that UK Home Secretary Priti Patel has to these incredibly shadowy and nefarious figures. Obviously, as I've spoken about a gazillion times on this show, the Assange extradition decision is now resting solely on the shoulders of UK Home Secretary Priti Patel. So this was very interesting to me. I got very excited when Kit told me that this was coming out yesterday, because I knew I had him scheduled for today, and it was a great timing for me because this is obviously something I care about a great deal. And as we've discussed, in this hour, it seems as if they really are just incredibly paranoid. I don't know, unhinged. Like, they really do feel like just this unhinged group of people. They're classifying anybody who dares to advocate for the environment as crazy secret communist agents, including Jeremy Corbyn. I mean, Jeremy Corbyn's in these emails as well. I think it's in there that they labeled him something like a Cold War defector or something, or I can find that part.
Yeah. I think it's very interesting because there are a number of current and former intelligence officials who came forward, you know, both on and off record to state, you know, that Corbyn represents a threat to national security. I think this was probably quite impactful with, you know, a lot of people. But then, you know, when you actually break down, I mean, you see this in the emails, like, you know, their reasons for it. They just saw him as a traitor for having, you know, separate opinions, for being anti-war, for taking a different view to the mainstream on the, you know, Israeli state's treatment of the Palestinians. Like, you know, for this reason, Richard Dearlove said, you know, very literally, Corbyn could not be prime minister. I mean, it's just, I think that's, you know, that's the perspective. It's just like, you know, if you're from outside this sphere where there are a number of, you know, assumptions and axiomatic, statements of truth about the world and the way that it works, like, you are not allowed to gain power. Again, it's really quite extraordinary. Color me surprised that someone who is in very close quarters with the Israeli state and Zionist operatives is embroiled with these people. Another thing that it makes me very sad, but I'm, you know, irrespective of Priti Patel's decision on what happens next with Julian, it's just going to grind on. You know, yes. If she says yes, then there's going to be an appeal, and then that's another few weeks or months in which there's a lot of, you know, bureaucratic wrangling. If she goes the other way again, it's the same. And, you know, the American authorities have made clear that, you know, we're just going to keep appealing this until we get what we want. But then equally, I think that the current situation suits them very well, and it is what they want, which is, you know, Julian stuck in limbo. He's free, but he's not free. And if Nils Melzer's recent book on the persecution of Julian Assange, which is excellent, and I encourage everyone listening to check it out. The difference in treatment between Julian and Augusto Pinochet, who is the, you know, Chilean dictator who took power in a US-UK backed coup in the early 70s, he was arrested on four war crimes. I'm not going to add suspicion. He's personally implicated in the murder and torture of countless, you know, thousands of people. When he was awaiting trial on these charges, he was in a very luxurious safe house on the outskirts of London. And then when it was ruled that he wouldn't be extradited for them, he was just given immediate release. Nils Melzer has repeatedly called for Julian to be, you know, released from house arrest. You know, he's never been convicted of any crime. He has no history of violence, but he's stuck in Belmarsh, which, you know, as you say, is referred to as Britain's Gitmo. The disparity in treatment couldn't be more obvious, and indeed the disparity in kind of perspective of officials when viewing these people couldn't be more obvious either.
Yes. And I'm so glad that you brought that up because, in Melzer's book, which, yes, everybody, please go read it. If you want a really amazing accounting of the Julian Assange saga, that is a really great book to start off with. He does a fantastic job of really detailing all of just the absolute nonsense surrounding this. And this, as Kit is saying, this example of Pinochet and the disparity of treatment here. I mean, he was allowed to receive gifts, and he was allowed to have visitors, and and Julian Assange is isolated for 23 hours a day in his cell. It's very difficult for him to get visitors. His children and his wife it's a very rare occurrence for them to be able to go. His outside communications with his family, his legal team, all all of those things are very limited, very restricted. He's been essentially in a solitary confinement type situation for 3 years. That's insanity. Again, as Kit said, this is a guy who is a journalist and a publisher. He has no history of violence. He has no, I mean, he's just a guy who exposes powerful people. But the disparity in treatment, and I thoroughly believe this, that you're right, they do want to just drag this out, as Julian Assange released in the Stratfor leaks. There's an email in those leaks where they detail how they're going to deal with Julian Assange. And one of their plans is we'll just tie him up in legal case, in legal stuff for 25 years. And that's what
bounce
they're doing.
Bounce him from prison to prison. Bounce him from prison to prison. It's no, I mean, it's, I mean, you know, I remember very well, you know, I was living in London at the time when, Julian, they caught wind of a, you know, indictment against, WikiLeaks caught wind of an indictment against Julian, and, you know, he fled the country home at which he was under house arrest and took up residence in the Ecuadorian embassy in Knightsbridge. I went to several of his kind of addresses from the window and everything. I mean, it's monumentally depressing. But I mean, as I, you know, said in the intro, you know, bear in mind, you know, people do have the power. Like, you know, if we organize, if we, you know, collaborate, you know, put aside partisan differences. You know, I said this in the interview the other day. It's like, you know, we, you know, individual grassroots activists, independent journalists, independent researchers, concerned citizens managed to take down an entirely new intelligence agency, you know, in the form of the DHS Disinformation Governance Board. You know, think about what we could do if we pooled our efforts in respect of GCHQ or NSA or CIA or MI6. You know, we definitely do have the power to take these people down or at least hold them to account.
Yes, no question. And I think honestly, Kit, that's why so much effort has been put in the past like 24, 36 hours since the announcement of the pausing of the Disinformation Governance Board. They are desperately trying to make it seem like it was a bunch of crazy right wingers who were bullying the government into taking it down.
There's a reason. It was disinformation they took it down. I mean, this is the thing though as well, is that like I think that you posted and you were so on the money with this. Which is just that, like, I mean, this is a huge victory for people power. You know, this can't be underestimated. Like, you know, a government department got shelved because of public backlash. But, you know, equally, there is, you know, very little reason to believe that the threat of this has been, you know, vanquished, you know, let alone permanently. Because, and in fact, you know, that the public was able to successfully challenge, you know, the warm welcome extended to Nina Jankovic, that awful human being who was like meant to run it. You know, and indeed, you know, the New York Times and Washington Post published these hugely apologetic obituaries claiming that, you know, this was a result of her being harassed and, you know, this is so awful. You know, this kind of, you know, underlines to people in power that the reasons that this board was created this reinforces the necessity of creating an entity which states, you know, what is true and what isn't. You know, again, you know, people do have grassroots power, and you know, I mean, I've written extensively about the undercover police spying in the UK, which is there's currently a dedicated inquiry, which is not getting to the truth on this at all in Britain. And it's like, you know, that an enormous number of people were targeted, and you know, the campaign groups they're part of were infiltrated by undercover operatives. And they never thought at the time it would happen because they were so small and, you know, to their own minds, kind of pathetic. You know, they come after us because we are powerful, because we are strong, because we do have, you know, in tandem with one another, we do have influence and we can change things.
Absolutely.
So keep doing it.
Yes, that's what I say all the time. The only thing that ever gets changed is mass public pressure. And that requires us coming together across ideologies. Yes, we're going to have disagreements, but where we can find common cause, we need to come together and we need to fight together. That's what gets changed. Okay, so we have a couple minutes left. Tell everybody where they can find you, where they can find your work, where they can support you, all of that good stuff.
Okay, well, yeah, I mean, you can find me at Kit Clarenberg at, you know, at just at Twitter. It's the same with my Substack as well. You know, feel free to drop me an email, Kit Clarenberg at ProtonMail. I try and answer most of my fan mail, not least because there's very little of it. But the in all seriousness, I mean, it's more generally, you know, support independent media, like, you know, donate to Grey Zone, donate to Mint Press, which are, you know, two outlets which I, you know, very proudly, you know, contribute to regularly. The establishment is arrayed against us and is conducting enormous covert and overt operations in order to undermine us, which should tell you something about how dangerous we actually are. You know, even if it's, you know, a few dollars or even a few cents, we would really appreciate, like, you know, we appreciate any and all support, and we will keep fighting.
Yes. Please do. And thank you for all of the great work that you do. Everybody, as I preach it all the time, support independent media. We need it now more than ever. So support your truth tellers. Even if you can't donate financially, share the work. That's big help too. Kit, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate you taking the time. And everybody hang tight. There's more coming at you from TNT Radio right after this.